Hey there, sex fans, welcome back. Today is Monday, September 5th, 2011, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge, with your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. That's me. Hey, happy Labor Day, everybody. I really loved having the last several weeks off from podcasting. And as much as I love doing these podcasts, they are a load of very hard work. And a breather from time to time is just what the doctor ordered. But now I'm back, all refreshed from the hiatus, and ready to address the concerns of the sexually worrisome who have been contacting me with their questions and concerns. And I am delighted to welcome back my most excellent summer intern, Monique, again this week, for her last show with us before she returns to the ivy-covered walls of academia. As you probably discovered last time she joined us in podcast number 293, Monique is smart as a whip and has a remarkable talent for sex advice. But before we get on to all of that, we have a word from our sponsor. Today's sponsor is HotPlusSizeLingerie.com. You'll find this treasure trove of sexually stimulating lingerie, hosiery, bodysuits, costumes, shoes, and much more by clicking on their lovely banner in the sidebar of my site, drdicksexadvice.com. Say, did you know that HotPlusSizeLingerie.com is the leader in sexy plus size lingerie, costumes, and intimate apparel on the net? Well, they are, don't you know? They carry one of the largest selections of the latest and hottest styles from the leading lingerie designers in the industry. And they offer their customers their lowest priced guarantee. And you'll even get free shipping for your orders over $75. Our friends at Hot Plus Size Lingerie suggest that you sign up to receive advance notification on their inside promotions. That way, you'll be able to save oodles of cash. So go ahead, browse, shop, and enjoy, and always feel free to contact them with any questions or comments. And when you visit them, be sure to tell them that Dr. Dick sent you. Again, look for the Hot Plus Size Lingerie banner in the sidebar of my site. You will be so glad you did. Okay, let's mosey on over to the email inbox where my most excellent summer intern Monique is patiently waiting and see what we have. Alrighty then, first we hear from a woman. She gives us no name, age, or where she writes from. So Monique, would you do us the honors and read her comments to us?
Yes, I will. I'm so conflicted, I'm not even sure how to start. In all of my relationships, I've always been submissive when it comes to sex. Just in the bedroom. The rest of the time, I know what I want and how I want it. But no matter how submissive, one thing is constant. I want it. Bad. Lately, though, in my current relationship, I've noticed a change in my behavior and how I feel. I want it still, in a way, but there's no enjoyment. I mean that I haven't had a true orgasm with this man in several weeks. I'm not sure if that's important to what I'm about to talk about. He knows about my submissive side, and I think he's taking advantage of it. He seems to enjoy it when he has to be forceful. Once, a while back, he wanted anal, but I didn't and said no. He tried to use lube, and when I still said no, he stopped and went back to doing it in my vagina. But in the middle, he had me on my stomach, then put more weight on me, pulled out, then proceeded to do anal anyway. I don't remember if I said no again at that point, and I didn't struggle. I just let him have his way. It hurt, but my body seemed to go along with it, if you know what I mean. So did that mean I actually did want it, or just was turned on by being dominated like that? Skip ahead to just this week. I should stop to say that I've expressly told this man that I did not want a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship, and I've indicated before that I wished not to continue a sexual relationship, but he finds ways to get me to do it anyway. Anyway, this past Sunday, because I was going to be leaving for a two-day vacation with family, he asked me to come over and spend some time with him before I left. So I did, but I told myself I didn't want to have sex with him. I got there and just normal conversation, but he eventually asked me to sleep with him. I immediately said no. The next hour or so, maybe two, with him begging and saying things like, "But I love you. What's the problem? You're here with me, aren't you?" He also tried to get me to go down on him or jerk him off instead. I kept saying no, that I didn't want to. I even at one point loudly said no and told him to leave me alone. Some of his other responses were, "Stop this crap. If you said yes the first time, we'd already be cuddling," or something along that nature. This had all started on the couch in his bedroom, but he got me to lay down with him in the bed. After a while, he started pulling off my clothes. I fought and fought. I never screamed or hit or anything, but I kept trying to push him away and off me and kept saying no. I don't know why before it got to this and I didn't just leave, and I don't know why I never screamed or was more vocal. I keep telling myself it's because I didn't want his teenage son to hear what was going on. He still said stuff like, "Stop this crap," or "Stop this nonsense," and laughed when I said in response, "You stop." He had also kept saying, "I'll wear a condom the whole time if you'll do it," or "I'll be really gentle and loving this time." He eventually got my pants and underwear off and had me on my stomach. I had told him early on in the relationship that I liked that position, and he entered me. And then I told him I wanted him to use a condom. And when he got up to go get it, I got up and started putting my clothes back on. He came over and said, "Did you trick me?" Then somehow got all my clothes off and then had sex with me. I'm very confused about the whole thing. For quite a while, I've been unwanting any sexual contact. It hurts me physically, and I don't have orgasms. He persuades me to anyway, even when I tell myself and him no. This time, though, penetration was extremely easy for him, and I experienced virtually no pain, even when he thrust in violently, which he tends to do a lot when we are having sex. Have I got some sick fetish for being coerced into sex? What the hell is going on with me?
That's pretty amazing stuff, isn't it?
It's really intense.
yes. Besides the fact that she went on and on. So here's my response. Thank you for reaching out to me about the problems that you're having with your sex life. I have so many things that I want to say about what you've written, and none of it is pretty. You've set up a destructive pattern with this guy that you are seeing, and he's a shit for sure, but you don't get high marks for how you are handling yourself either. This very unfortunate, and I might add, dangerous game that the two of you are playing with each other is disturbing, and it could easily spin out of control. Speaking of control, he knows how to control you, and he's learned how to do that with your help. But I remind you, control of this nature is not the same thing as safe and consensual power play, and I think you know this too, and I'm pretty sure he does as well. So I'm going to guess that there are some deep-seated issues that each of you have that, when brought together, become explosive, and not in a good way. Have you ever considered counseling? If you haven't, I suggest you seriously make some moves up in that direction. You guys are on the precipice, and one false move will have you both tumbling toward disaster. I suppose that you know that I offer counseling and therapy, right? My practice is not just limited to the Seattle area, and thanks to the internet and phone, I have clients all over the world. So go to my site, look for the tab in the header that reads Therapy Available. You'll find all the information that you need to make an educated decision about joining me for some counseling. I just want you to know that I would do you a terrible injustice if I tried to gloss over the disturbing stuff you present in your message to me with some breezy psychobabble or humorous sex advice. So I won't demean you or your situation by doing that. You have issues, my dear, and you need to get to the bottom of them if you expect to find the happiness and fulfillment that you seek. If I can be of assistance, contact me again and we'll set something up. So I want to talk to you, Monique, about this, because I value your insight, not just as a budding sexologist, but as a woman. This woman is troubled, yes? What are your thoughts?
Yes, I do feel that she's troubled, and she would benefit from some therapy for sure. And I'm not saying that I don't want to blame the victim here,
right.
At all in the least. He in no way, shape, or form does he get off the hook. He knows what he's doing.
Yep.
He's fully aware of his level of manipulation and essentially that he did rape her.
Yes.
And so for me, my first advice to her would be to just step back from it and just don't even have any contact with him.
Yes, because she kind of invites the abuse because she, she seeks him out or at least responds to his invitations to join him. I mean, that's
right.
A big mistake. I mean, if you're in an abusive relationship with somebody, the last thing you want to do is, be in his company or hers.
Right. So I, at all costs, I would love to see her just step away from that and look
right.
at healing
right.
herself and healing from this
yeah.
entire situation. And going forward, I wonder how clear she is about what she wants in domination and submission,
right.
and
right, right,
maybe
right.
making writing down some good guidelines for herself. And
right.
this is definitely what I do want, and this is not acceptable. And
right.
then sitting down with someone and negotiating that point by point.
Right. And that's the important part. And that's what power play is all about. And she's blurring this line tremendously, and it disturbs me to no end. She says in her last sentence to us, have I got some sick fetish for being coerced into sex? Well, first of all, if it's a fetish, it doesn't have to be sick. And
no.
being coerced into sex as a fetish, is a fine and dandy kind of thing because it's all fantasy and we all know ahead of time what's going on. So it's not a problem. But if you're on one page and your partner is on some other page, then there is a problem because we don't know what end is up.
Right. Right. He's going to have a different definition than she
right.
is. So,
and your point exactly to have a discussion, hammer these things out. If you don't know what power play is, my dear, then you ought to do some remedial study on that kind of stuff before you enter into these negotiations with either this guy or any other.
Yep.
Cool beans.
Sounds good.
So let's move on. We have another rather curious message from a guy named Jerry, who's 60 years old and writes from Virginia. He writes, I'm a married cross-dresser, not passable. My wife knows I cross-dress. How can I convince her to have sex with me and another cross-dresser? We don't have sex anymore, but I really want to do this. I'd love to see her with him. Then she can watch us guys get it on. I'm really hot to do this. Okay, please help. Got any words of wisdom for Jerry?
I do. I
okay.
have a page and a half of words of wisdom I wrote up.
You
so.
Knock him dead then.
All right, excellent. Well, Jerry, my first thought is that since you and your wife are not having sex, that's really the starting point. If your sex life is non-existent right now, it's incredibly unlikely that your wife is going to be interested in adding a third person. You don't mention why you believe sex has stopped or how long it's been this way, so I'm going to start with communication. Have you considered asking your wife what she wants? Maybe make the first step to ask if you could agree on a good time to sit down and talk about what you both want in your sexual relationship. Sometimes people like time to think about how they'll say what's on their mind. One possible approach to this conversation is to let her know you miss the sexual connection and would like to talk about creating a new sexual connection together. If you make a sex talk date with her, follow through is important, so be there or be square. Timing is critical when you ask for that date, so pick a time when she's not distracted or stressed out and certainly not right before going to bed. When you have that first talk, it's not the time to bring up your desire for a threesome or to quote-unquote convince her it will be fun. It's a time to figure out what you both want and need in order to have a fun sex life together instead of no sex life. Ask her what would be fun or satisfying, how often she wants to have sex, and how you can show her you're interested in her sexual needs. This will hopefully broaden the conversation for you both to answer these questions and have more of a dialogue than an interrogation. It may sound here like I'm assuming that it's your wife who doesn't want to have sex, but I know it could be you, or it could be a diminished interest on both sides. The point is to get you both talking so you can get to the exploration and moving on toward a healthier sex life together. People change, their interests and likes change, and perhaps it's time for a check-in with each other. I recommend that you look up active listening online and use some of those tools during your talk. You will be listening to what she says and rephrasing in your own words what you think she means. This helps clarify for both of you and gives you an opportunity to explain something in a different way if it wasn't quite right the first time. It's important during your talk to use statements that start with I. For example, I feel a little frustrated about our sex life and hope we can figure something out together. Stating something in terms of what you think and how you feel will be received better and will not be seen as an attack or an accusation. The conversation could get rough or shut down if she is put on the defensive by statements like, you are not, or you never. This goes for her too, but unfortunately I'm not talking with her, so you're going to have to suck it up and be kind in this new approach to communicating. If she says something in a way that seems attacking, just keep in mind she didn't research or talk with anyone about communication ahead of time. Just let it roll off and don't take it personally. Again, I'm not assuming that your wife isn't interested in sex, as it's possible she has felt she can't talk about or pursue it for any number of reasons. So Jerry, your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to figure out with your wife how you two can reconnect sexually in a mutually fun and satisfying way. It may be a rocky conversation at first, it will need to be revisited and renegotiated, and it's above all else going to take some time and commitment from you both. Once you have a long-term healthy sex life, then talking about fantasies and desires are sometimes easier. It doesn't mean she'll share your fantasies or be interested in pursuing them, but perhaps you'll find once you have a healthier sex life that having your own hot fantasies is great in and of itself. Or maybe she would one day be interested in a different version of your fantasy. What will you do if she shares her fantasies? Any way about it, it's too soon to approach that until you have a healthier sex life with your wife.
Aren't you sweet? You're going to get an A+.
Well, thanks. I'll take that. I'll make sure to let my professor know.
Good.
Okay.
I have a completely different take. And here's my response to old Jerry.
Okay.
Boy, Jerry, you are so fucking lucky you wrote in when my most excellent summer intern, Monique, was here to respond to your email first, because I have absolutely nothing nice to say to you
or
about your predicament. You, sir, are a selfish, ingrate, a lout, and a bounder. You are the kind of pervert that gives the rest of us self-respecting pervs a bad name. You tip us off to your wife's long-suffering tolerance of your cross-dressing. But that's not enough for you, is it? Now you want her to entertain one of your cross-dressing chums, invite him into her pussy, and then stick around and watch the two of you bugger yourselves senseless. Jesus, even maggots gag at some point. It's all about you, isn't it? You got your head so far up your ass about your own kink that you apparently don't have time or the inclination to ask yourself why the little woman ain't putting out for you anymore. But even at this great distance, I can say with some certainty that the reason she's done with you is because she's sick and tired of being nothing more than a blow-up sex doll for you. Listen, I have nothing against your kink. My beef is with your arrogance and self-centeredness. I know a lot of closeted cross-dressers that would give their eye teeth to have an accepting wife like you do. Here's a tip for you, Jerry, and all the other loathsome, egomaniacal, pervert assholes out there. The secret to successful mixed marriages between a kinkster and one who is not is to give at least as good as you hope to get. So, let me ask you, Jerry, what have you done for your wife lately? If she accepts your cross-dressing, or at least looks the other way while you don your frilly knickers, how do you reward her for her forbearance? You make no mention of that in your message to us, so I can only assume that you don't do anything. It's all gimme, 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 and then gimme some more. Well, until you can write back and tell me that you are treating the little woman like fucking royalty, that you are dishing out at least twice as much reward as you are asking for yourself, then I have nothing more to say to you. Now, be gone.
So wow. Okay. So, just so our listeners can appreciate the depth of how surprised I am right now. I had no idea what Richard wrote until this very moment, until you knew. So part of me really wanted to be snarky with him because everything reads about him.
Right.
But I didn't. I just felt like I needed to be
And you
nice,
did a good job.
Which is interesting in
you
and of itself.
You did a really good job, honestly. I just couldn't swallow it. And I just, he pushed all my buttons, and he got some buttons pushed himself. So there.
Neener. Got two perspectives, too. He got one. So.
Two for the price of one.
There you go.
So let's move along to our next correspondent who identifies himself as Worried.
Okay.
He's age 50, and he's located in the USA, don't you know? So he writes, "Why does a woman not want to kiss a man? I have a girlfriend. We've been together for about 6 months, but she still does not want to kiss me on the lips. Please tell me it's because I am a man. Or does she enjoy kissing women instead? I hope you can help me. I'm worried about this matter because without kissing, we are not able to go much farther in our relationship. There is no future if she does not want me to kiss her on the lips and show me some passion. Plus, she does not want to take me out in public to meet any of her friends. So, I hope you can help if she enjoys kissing women over me. Tell me, how can I find out what is true? I've heard that she has been with some women in the past. Could she still be with them now? And maybe that's why she does not want to kiss me on the lips or show me any romantic passion." Okay, just a quick note. Our audience should be aware that I had to do a lot of editing on this particular question. Clearly, English is not Worried's first language. Monique, do you have any thoughts and comments for this fellow?
Yes, I do. So, dear Worried, this is one of those times I wish I could ask a few questions. For example, have you asked her how she feels about kissing in general? Not just you, but what she thinks of kissing anyone. Maybe you just have really bad breath. But I think this actually goes much deeper than that. Have you been having sex? And if so, how frequently? I do not encourage sex if you haven't already gone there. I'm just not sure what the term girlfriend and relationship mean to you or to her.
Good thinking.
So does she see this as a relationship? Is it just sex for her? Or is it something in between for her? All of these are acceptable, we just don't know. Kissing can be seen as a very intimate act, not just a sexual act. She may not like kissing or kissing you. There's a real possibility that she doesn't like kissing men. It's impossible for me to guess why she doesn't want to kiss you, but if she doesn't want to, then she doesn't have to. It's possible that she enjoys sex without kissing, but you're not going to know unless you talk with her. As for the rumors of her past, I think they are rumors until you discuss it with her. If she has been with women before, then so be it. Maybe she enjoys being with men sometimes. Sexuality is fluid and changes over time for many people, so let's not limit her or define her sexuality for her. The thing that catches my attention the most is that she doesn't want to introduce you to her friends, but you want to meet her friends. This is usually a sign that there's a big communication gap between two people, and they are not on the same page. The two of you may want very different things out of this relationship. This is what you both need to figure out so that you can both get what you want, even if that means go separate ways to pursue it elsewhere.
I totally agree with that, and I want to just accent the last thing that you hit upon, and that is the expectations that some people have about relationships. Just because I meet somebody and actually connect with them on some level doesn't necessarily mean we're in a relationship. And, you know, all the signs of a non-relationship are present here with poor Mr. Worried. You know, no kissing, no intimacy, no passion, and the chick he's dating doesn't want him And around any of her friends. She doesn't want to show him around. She's not proud of him, or she doesn't want people to know that they're having some kind of connection. So maybe he's reading a whole lot more into it than he ought to. And that's a really sad kind of thing, but it happens to us, all of us, I think. I certainly look back in my life after reading his message to us, and I discovered that there were times in my life that I misread completely the social cues that were coming to me from people who were involved with me, you know, just as friends, and I was reading way more into it.
Yes, and I think also, having said that, a lot of us, when we do make a connection with someone, it's very easy to overlook initially, especially within the first 6 months, all of the other places that you're not connecting, because you're so interested in the newness and what is fun and what is working maybe this time that hasn't worked before. And so I totally understand wanting to date someone and being really interested in someone, but not at the expense of your own well-being and happiness. And
he's
just not happy.
Right. And if this fellow's first language is not English, and he's come from another culture, maybe his, you know, cultural perceptions about relationships and women, relationships in general and women in particular, need to be adjusted to the American scene, because he's now in the good old U.S. of A.
Yes.
Okay. So let's move along to our next correspondent. He identifies himself as Jay Grant. And he writes, "Last year, I started an open relationship with a woman at work who has been with a guy for 7 or 8 years. He is a bisexual. I'm not. So her and I do things, but once in a while, there's another guy that shows up to make a foursome. I don't know how this guy adds 2 and 1 to come up with 4, but there you have it." He goes on to write, "It's fun, but none of us ever uses protection. Is it wrong to want to start using protection now, even though when we started we didn't? Would they or she get offended if I brought it up?"
Do I get to go again?
Oh, yeah, please do.
Excellent. I like this one. This one is right up my alley. I love safer sex education. It thrills me. So, dear Jay, it doesn't matter if they'd be offended by you bringing up the need for safer sex. You're gambling with your health and maybe even your life right now. Instead of scheduling a hot sex night, schedule a night to talk about STD and STI testing status and safer sex going forward. If they're used to bringing other people into their sexual relationships, they will hopefully not be surprised by this request. They may be surprised it has taken this long to sit down and talk about it. If they're offended, that's your second indication that you have to look out for yourself, since no one else is. The first indication was that no one talked about it in the first place. Before you talk to them, you'll need to educate yourself about safer sex practices. You can't set clear boundaries with them for safer sex going forward if you don't know the details of what that means. Planned Parenthood has a huge amount of information on their website on every STD and STI. You can call them too. They've seen and heard it all, so your situation is not going to be a shocker to them. I guarantee that unless you're a sex educator, you'll learn something new from their website. For example, did you know that a herpes test is not a standard test unless you have symptoms? This is important because many people who have herpes have no symptoms but can easily spread it. You have to request the blood test if you want to know for sure. It costs a pretty penny, but what price is your health and peace of mind? I just clicked through the Planned Parenthood website, and they have a cool new anonymous questionnaire under the Sexually Transmitted Diseases menu option. It's a link called The Check for those who are wondering if they should get tested. It will ask you up to 9 yes or no questions, and then it will tell you if a test is recommended. Again, no personal information is collected. So let's go back to your current relationship. You'll need to ask everyone a lot of questions and be prepared to answer the same questions. I wish I could make a flowchart for you, because I'm a geek that way, but instead I'll give you a short list to start you off. The first question, when were all of you last tested, and for which STDs? Did you get a blood test for herpes? How about that guy who joined us that one time? When was he tested, and for which STDs? Have you had unprotected, unsafe sex with anyone since you were last tested? This is where you have to know what unsafe sex means, especially to you, so you can define it. Unprotected oral sex is unsafe sex when you don't know anyone's status. How about that guy who joined us? Has he had sex with anyone else since he was last tested? If they have had even one sexual partner and unprotected sex with them since their last test, this is where you absolutely insist on safer sex going forward. You've educated yourself for this step, and now you know if you want to demand any barrier protection besides just condoms. Think about dental dams and look them up in case you're not sure what those are. They're useful for oral sex and rimming. You'll also have to decide if you'll take their word for it, or you can ask to see the documentation on STD status. It's a reasonable request to share these documents and standard practice in many swinging and poly relationships. If they resist or refuse, you have to decide what your response is going to be, so plan ahead. I think this is as far as I need to go with the questions. These questions will lead to other questions, and you may all have to talk about it again if you have yet more questions or boundaries you need later. If you haven't been asked anything by them, and if you haven't talked about safer sex, there's no reason to believe they are respecting anyone's health and life. Seriously, check out Planned Parenthood and the frequently asked STD questions, because I just don't have enough airtime to give the full Monty on STDs.
Excellent. So my response was considerably more brief. All I can say is that if I were you, I'd use protection all the time. You know, just because you've dodged the STI or sexually transmitted infection bullet so far doesn't make you immune in perpetuity. I mean, is wearing a rubber all that inconvenient considering all the hassle of dealing with a potential life-altering infection? Come on, folks, let's grow up.
Well, that was very succinct.
and like Monique said, and you probably know this already, Mr. Grant, but anyone that would get offended by you being proactive about your health is no one you should be fucking, period. Good luck.
Yep, sounds good.
Beans. And finally, we have Laura, and you're going to read her comment to us.
Yes. From Laura, this is a serious question, but I can't find anyone to help me answer it. If a person wanted to make absolute sure, or as close as possible, that they would not fart during sex or during a BDSM scene, how would you do it? I'm very inexperienced, and this has been a major issue. Thanks for your time.
I'm going to let you handle this one.
Okay, great. Dear Laura, everyone farts, even the domliest dom and the most intimidating dominatrix and the sexiest person you've ever seen. If you're getting pressure about farting from anywhere except your own bowels, you'll need to toss that person who is offended by your toots. Yes, it can be a little embarrassing, but it's just inevitable that you're going to let one escape at some point. Most people completely understand that farts happen. In a BDSM scene or during sex, it's a good moment to share a laugh. If someone has their face near your butt, it's polite to verbally warn them or encourage them to move in a nonverbal way. Unless, of course, they have a fart fetish, in which case you've got a partner who will be excited about it. Trying to hold it in is really distracting, not really healthy, and could actually backfire worse than the initial.
No pun intended, huh?
No, we've all been there. No, no. Oh, dear.
Go on. Yes.
All right. So, if keeping in mind that you're human isn't quite enough to alleviate your concerns, here are some tips. Do some Kegel exercises every day. Keeping these muscles toned may give you better orgasms. The pelvic floor muscles are used to stop both urinating midstream and also to prevent gas. So think about farting right now. Did you feel what your butt did? Those are pelvic muscles. Give them a workout. Number two, eat healthier food the day before you're going to have sex or a BDSM date. Avoid food that is high in fat, carbs, or fried. You know which foods give you gas already, so just avoid those. Everyone is different, so I'm not going to make a huge list of foods to avoid. Beans and cabbage have no effect on me, but they're highly explosive for some. I've read that peppermint tea may reduce gas, but this is anecdotal. I have no research to back it, but you can't hurt yourself with one cup before your date. I'm not going to recommend any medications or over-the-counter products that may reduce gas. Instead, I'll tell you to see your doctor if you're farting all day. That could be an indication of something you need to address. Otherwise, people do fart every day, no matter what. And finally, the odds are in your favor here. Because everyone farts, absolutely everyone, you should kick anyone to the curb who does not accept that.
Excellent. And you know what else? There's in the past, people have women have written to me about pussy farts.
Oh, yes, the queef.
Queef, exactly. And so if somebody is concerned about queefing...
You have no control over that. Zero control. You don't
exactly.
Even have muscles
exactly.
To help
exactly. Just, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. But you're welcome to go to my site, drdicksexadvice.com, and look for pussy farts using the search function in the header. So that's all we have time for today. But before we go, I want to take a moment and thank you, Monique, for your participation here at drdicksexadvice.com. It's been a pleasure having you as my summer intern. You're a joy to be around. You're wonderful. You're clever. You're resourceful. You're interesting. And you have so much to add. And everyone here at Dr. Dick Sex Advice, as we bid you farewell, hope that you study hard and get good grades and make us proud and come back and visit us anytime, because you're part of the family now.
Thank you, Richard. I'd actually really like that. I'm going to be here for a couple more years, and I've learned a lot, and this is great. The feedback, you know, any constructive criticism, I really appreciate all of it, because, like I said, I am learning, although... You know, I have a few years' experience
in life
and relationships.
Exactly.
I'm thrilled to be here, and I really look forward to learning more and keeping in touch with you and hopefully the audience as well.
Great. And you know, you're much less nervous the second time than last.
Yes. Well, you know, I had never talked about sex and had it recorded and known that, you know, potentially hundreds of people were going to listen to
right,
me.
Right, right, right. Well, so imagine what you're going to be like in a couple of years if you've made these tremendous leaps in just a month. All right, kiddo. Thanks very much. Talk to you later.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in this coming Wednesday for another great sex wisdom podcast and more sex advice with an edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is HotPlusSizeLingerie.com. Our new sponsors have been selling plus-size lingerie on the net for over 5 years. Their site is solely dedicated to enticing curves and full-figured women. Besides being intimate apparel, they carry a huge selection of sexy costumes, hosiery, bodysuits, and jaw-dropping shoes. You won't find a bigger or better selection than HotPlusSizeLingerie.com. And you can always count on discreet shipping and billing for every order. Look for their flirty banner in the sidebar of my site, drdicksexadvice.com, and visit them today. Until next week, remember, sex is good, and good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.